Happy Monday. It's the Monday Morning Joe podcast, March 12th. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes here. We are presented by Discount Garage Doors. ggdoors.com is the website. Use your 10% off Joe Bucks fan code, ggdoors.com. We'll talk more about them later. Free agency is here. This is it. Teams starting at noon today. Noon, Jason Light can call Carlos Hyde's agent and say, look, man, what's it going to take to bring Mr. Hyde back home to Florida? We need a running back. We got an opening for a number one running back, a pounder in this run-first offense that thrives on play action when it's humming for Dirk Cutter. How much cash do you need? We got the most in the NFC. The most available in the NFC. That's the kind of phone call Jason Light or text can make at noon today. Now, does it happen under the table at the combine and elsewhere? Sure, you would think. But I don't know. For sure, we won't know. But now it can all be out in the open right now that Mr. Light can get down to business. Now, Wednesday at 4 o'clock, that's when the bell rings. That's when teams can start signing players. That's when you officially lose your players if you don't have them under contract. So when does Brent Grimes walk out the building and officially call himself a free agent? Robert McClain, Keith Tandy, all those guys, that comes officially at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. But, of course, Miko Grimes, if she's representing Brent like she says she does, hey, she could start taking calls today at noon and start hearing who might want to sign him, who might want to lock Brent up to and be willing to give him a two-year deal with maybe a year and a half worth of guaranteed money. You know, it's out there. Richard Sherman, he's hurt. He's coming off major surgery, two surgeries, and he's getting some big bucks, some guaranteed money. I don't know what the Bucks have in front of Grimes, but that deal is not dead yet. I promise you that. I've got some knowledge of the situation there. And anyway, thanks for tuning in, subscribing to the podcast, and supporting us here as we get to this exciting time. Plenty to talk about today. And probably the theme of today is going to be, what are the Bucks really trying to accomplish? I've had so many people come up to me in the last, 5 days and say, well, what's the plan? You know, what are we doing? Why did we try to get Robert Quinn, Michael Bennett? And that's what we've been told, and that's nobody's been denying that. And usually, one thing here at JoeBucksFan.com, we'll hear from the organization if something is total baloney out there or it didn't happen. So, like, let's say we share a report from ESPN or share a report from here or there, and it's total BS, or the organization wants everyone to know, no, that didn't happen. Well, we'll find out about it. So just file that in the back of your head. Anyway, the question is, what are the Bucks really trying to do? Because we all know if they really wanted Robert Quinn, they could have gotten him. But maybe they didn't. And why didn't they? What's the plan? And we're going to dive into a little bit of that today, because that's really what's important, is trying to figure out what the plan is. We'll celebrate the players when they come. They'll have some upside, and we'll like some moves, and we won't like some others, and we'll wonder why guys got away and guys didn't sign here and what the mindset is. But right now, as we sit here on Monday morning, I think the plan is what we've got to try to dive into, and it's just been the most popular question thrown at me is, what are the Bucks doing? And it becomes more confusing after missing on some of these defensive ends that you probably could have gotten. So there's a lot going on, and we'll start with that. But Discount Garage Doors, they're a presenter, sponsor of the podcast. And what does that mean? That means you should support them because they support this. They support JoeBucksFan.com. And they're a great local company born in the Tampa Bay area, delivering in the Tampa Bay area, serving the community, and providing their services to more than 18 Florida counties. Or I think it's 18, all the way out to Orlando and beyond. Discount Garage Doors. Same day free service call. That means if you call them today, they might be able to get out there this afternoon, set something up within 24 hours. They're going to come to your home and give you a free diagnosis of the situation. Same day free service call, and it's free. No charge, no credit card over the phone. They're just coming out. They're going to check everything out. They'll give you a diagnosis. If you need a new door, they have a great selection. Deliver quickly and get it all done, installed with certified, insured, well-trained professionals, or you could just get the prices and shop around. And they always want you to shop around because Discount Garage Doors lives by their name, Discount Garage Doors. Very affordable. Use your 10% off Joe Bucks fan code, dgdoors.com, or just call them now, 1-866-420-DOOR. No big hard sell. They'll come out, same day free service call. Now, Bucks have been linked a lot to Tremaine Johnson. There is a new report came out yesterday, you know, after Tremaine Johnson officially said goodbye to all of his teammates, you know, doing the social media tour of goodbyes that players like to do. The Bucks were a name that were thrown out there of that would be interested. Now, so he's the big, strong cornerback from the Rams that they didn't want to afford. They went with Marcus Peters instead, cheaper and younger and probably more talented, but more volatile, and a young player who's had some trouble. And they went with Aqib Talib, traded for Talib. Tremaine Johnson's a guy they franchised 2 years in a row. Rarely happens for a cornerback. He earns over $16.5 million last year, and now he's free. In his prime, 28 years old. Is he a superstar of all superstars, future Hall of Famer? No, but he's a damn good, legit number one starting cornerback. Now, Jason LaConfora, CBS, in that report was saying that teams that are doing a lot of work at the corner position, when he says that, he means talking to a lot of agents and putting in the time and are heavily invested in studying the cornerback position for free agency. He listed Green Bay, Tennessee, Tampa, and Houston, and one of them is likely to land Tremaine Johnson, and LaConfora thinks it'll be the Texans. Now, one thing probably working against the Bucks is being from Florida. Tremaine Johnson is a California guy, and sometimes it's just hard to recruit those California guys. And when they get to Florida, they don't really want to be here in some ways, and it doesn't always work that well. There have been a lot of instances of that, and I'm always a little leery of that. It's just the way it is. I don't know how else to say it. It's just the way it is. Sometimes even, I remember talking to Mark Dominic about this a while ago, years ago. Sometimes the East Coast teams, if they like a player in the West Coast for as an undrafted free agent, they will draft him in the seventh round. They'll find a way to get him in the seventh round because they know they'll have no shot to recruit the guy to, you know, go from living in California or Northern California to come to Florida to play football if they're competing with somebody else out there or close out there. And it just can be difficult. So that's something to think about with Tremaine Johnson. Does he want to win? There's another thing, right? If you're looking at Green Bay, Tennessee, Houston, and Tampa, who's closer to winning? It pains me. It makes me want to vomit to think that the Bucks are probably the farthest away. But that is the situation, right? You have to just be honest with it. Green Bay is right there. Tennessee just came off a playoff victory. Granted, they had a coaching change, and there's going to be turnover there. Houston, a lot of great defensive core in Houston, and that's not the toughest division in the world. I don't know. I'm not sure if the Bucks are going to be able to get Johnson, but it's a question of how much do they want him, right? How much do they want him comes down to how much money do they want to pay. And that comes back to the Bucks' overall core approach to free agency this year. We just don't know where the team's head is at. Now, they put this massive deal in front of Mike Evans. Now, that does not affect the salary cap. I've had questions on that. Evans' salary for this year was going to be about $14 million before he signed that deal, and it'll still be that, and that was still part of the cap. So get that out of your head. They didn't just lose any cap room. But the overarching look is, what do they want to do? And I don't know. I'm not sure why Brent Grimes isn't signed yet. I know the deal is not dead. And Grimes, he's going to want market value. And why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't the guy want market value? And with Grimes, is in many ways, it's not about his age, because I don't think anybody thinks he's going to fall apart this season. So it's, what are you going to pay the guy this year? And when you don't have anybody younger to really step in that you trust, that you can say, you know what, this guy looks like a starter, you have to bring back Grimes in a lot of ways. You got to bring him back. He knows the system. You know he could be successful in it. And they're not changing a lot. They didn't change position coaches. They didn't change defensive coordinators. I have no hint or thought in the world that Mike Smith is going to start changing what he's doing, even though he has the 32nd ranked defense. Dirk Cutter trusts him implicitly. They barely even changed one coach, Jay Hayes. It took a lot. But now they got Brenson Buckner. And it took a lot, and I have a feeling, and Lee DeCamper, my partner at JoeBucksFan.com, has a feeling as well, that a big reason they got Buckner is because they felt he could revive the guys on the roster. The Robert Ayers, the Will Golston, and do well with Jay Hayes. Noah Spence. So what do we got going here? If you're going to bank on Golston and Ayers and Buckner reviving them, I'm not sure that they really are that interested in an overhaul free agent at the defensive end, and there aren't really any out there. And if you wanted one, Robert Quinn was your guy, and you could have ponied up something much bigger to get him, but they didn't do it. So you would think the Bucks are looking more status quo on defense, and that would point to Grimes coming back. But they got to make some decisions here, and I'm nervous. I'm nervous about Jason Light being on his toes to be able to wheel and deal in a hurry, because that's what you have to be able to do in free agency. If the Bucks are looking to overhaul at corner, or they want Grimes, but they're looking at other guys, you got to be able to pull triggers quickly. I was asked why the Bucks really lost out on Robert Quinn. And one reason could be is in the negotiating process. Imagine if, you know, the Bucks had their fourth round pick out there, and you know it feels like that's what we're offering, and we have to think about it. But and Miami says, well, we're going to shop around, and then they shop around, and all of a sudden the Rams are shopping. All of a sudden they get Miami on the phone, and Miami says, you know what, we got a lot going on. We're looking at this and Jarvis Landry and blah blah blah, and you know what, we want you to take a fourth round pick. We'll swap sixth round picks, but you got to do it right now or we're out. And maybe the Rams did it. Maybe Jason Light wasn't firm enough in getting a deal done. I don't know, but you got to be really sharp in free agency, because you're going to lose guys if you're not on your toes, especially when there's multiple demand for a player. I learned at the NFL owners meetings, maybe 2 years. Yeah. It was 2 years ago. It became very clear that Brent Grimes had multiple teams after him, 6 to 8 teams. And when you score a guy like that who's in demand, I don't care if it's Rogers Cromartie or Morris Claiborne, whoever it is, you got to be ready to pull the trigger immediately and get a deal done. And I don't see a lot of links between the Bucks and their coaches and guys out there. So sometimes there's a connection like there was with Grimes, a comfort level, knowledge of a coach or other players. I don't see a lot of guys out there this year that have some Bucks kind of tie that I can find where you might have that little extra edge. So Jason Light really needs to be on his toes when this thing kicks off. If not, that's when you're going to lose guys and not be a winner in free agency, which is the goal. You got to get the guys you want. Now, we talked cornerback, and of course the Bucks might be thinking, okay, we'll just draft one of the top cornerbacks at number 7. These guys are going to come to us. Can't go wrong with a number 1 corner. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's the mindset, because this team does believe that Vernon Hargraves can turn things around at 22 years old. They believe that. That's part of the reason they keep saying they're close. They like their wild cards. They like what Noah Spence might bring to the table. They like what Vernon Hargraves might bring in a bounce back year. I don't think they're willing to give up on Hargraves. They said they're not. And part of that is drafting a new corner. That's sort of giving up on Hargraves. That's just how this league works. Like it or not, there's ego involved. There are resumes involved. There is a mindset involved that isn't always all about the best interest of the football team. And it doesn't mean people want to lose, but you know, it's just not that simple. You know, when you have Cutter and Light and they know they have to win now, it creates a different mindset. And I say win now, meaning to keep their jobs. Do I think they have to go 10-6 and make the playoffs to keep their jobs? No, I don't. I think they just have to be better. They got to be a winner again. They got to get back to 9-7. They got to show everybody and their brother and make everyone believe that this team is on the right path and on a winning path. And they can do that without getting to the playoffs. Like it or not, you maybe get all pissed off right now thinking that these guys better get it done or else. But that's just not how it works. I've said this before. If the Bucks go 5-4, the offensive is humming and good things are happening and they find their way to 9-7 and did it sort of the right way, if there is such a thing, nobody's going anywhere. And like it or not, that's the deal. But all right, so that's cornerback. Now at safety, I wrote something up today that, Keith Tandy is one of the guys that has a, sure, we'll bring you back without much money deal in front of him. We know that TJ Ward's out of here. Chris Conte, they picked up his option, and we got Justin Evans. Now, I don't know if Tandy's going to re-sign. The Bucs could use the safety. I like Kenny Vaccaro in free agency. Give me a wild card guy with a lot of talent, a guy who knows the division, and a guy who has done good things in the league. He's just been inconsistent. He's had some issues. He'll probably play on a one-year deal somewhere. I like his upside, and you got to have some wild cards. There's no big home run safety out there. I don't think Tyrann Mathieu is going to end up loose and with the Buccaneers. I just don't see it. I like Vaccaro. That's a guy I would go after. And I think if I had to put some money down, I think wherever he ends up, he's going to have a good year next year, and I wish it would be here. But I don't think the Bucs are going to go crazy addressing safety. I don't think it's a huge position for them in the draft either. This isn't Buffalo, who went out to last year and made it their business to build from the back. That's not the Bucs. So we move to linebacker. I don't expect the Bucs to do anything at linebacker in free agency. Come on. Next, we've got defensive line. And that's where the big question mark on philosophy lies. So where are the Bucs going here? And I sadly think that the failures to trade for anybody means that they are okay with what we've referred to as status quo. Yeah, they'll bring in a couple of new bodies, definitely. And they might make a play for Dontari Poe. I could see that because he's durable, because they had the feeling that they needed to upgrade last year, right? And why would Jason Light all of a sudden think that, well, Swaggy Baker was a colossal failure, so I don't need to upgrade that position again? So I think they'll go there. I think but I don't know how much they're going to spend. And excuse me, Light is very much about, look, a GM's job is to serve the head coach in what the head coach needs to build his team and what he likes to use, right? Because why go after a guy that your head coach doesn't want? It's not a good philosophy. And Light's not a strong enough GM to do that, right? To say, look, I got you this guy, play him and screw you. He's not wired that way anyway. And a GM has to serve ownership. Ownership helps set the direction of the franchise. Like it or not, they do that. They make some of the tough calls on not necessarily who to sign, but how much money to spend and where you want the money budgeted. And, ultimately it's their ass, right? It's the Glazers and the fans who have interest in this team and what it looks like indefinitely. And a GM and a coach, they know they're on short lifespans, most of them. And that's at least the way they think about it. At least that's the way they think if they're in the situations that Light and Cutter are in. They know that. There's extreme urgency. The Glazers might not have the same extreme urgency. And frankly, some fans don't. I know a lot of fans would love to see the Bucks blow up the defense, blow out McCoy, trade for what you can get from these guys and go with a young scrappy bunch and a new defensive coordinator. And, there's a lot of ways to look at this. But on defensive line, a guy like Vinnie Curry, if he's let go by the Eagles, I think he's a no-brainer. If Brenton Buckner is known for reviving guys, and that's one of the reasons they got him, because they thought, he can get more out of Golston. He can get more out of Ayers. Well, Vinnie Curry's a guy who's underachieved. Although he has achieved, he's underachieved for what he did a few years ago with the Eagles. And he played a lot last year. He won a Super Bowl. He's not a piece of garbage. Maybe he's the kind of guy that comes in here if he falls free and he gets Ayers kind of money. Second tier defensive end money, $6-8 million a year, $7 million. He's got more pass rush talent, probably $7-8 million guy. Maybe that's where they go. I wouldn't rule that out. We've talked about Okafor, injured guy from the Saints, the defensive end. He's got ties with Brenton Buckner. Don't underestimate those ties. He was successful in Arizona with Buckner. That's a possibility. But, man, like we've said here, Lee DeKemper said as well, if the Bucks believe that they can squeeze more out of their line with their coach and their system, they're going to do it, and they might be happy about it. This team believes that 2016, the team believes 2016 was not some sort of anomaly. The second half of 2016 wasn't some sort of mirage where they allowed just 17 points a game and had a pass rush and choked out Russell Wilson and, you know, were all over Drew Brees. They don't think that that was just pretend. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. Nobody really is. But maybe they go after a Poe, maybe a Vinnie Curry or an Okafor, and there's going to be a lot of status quo. A lot of status quo on the defensive line. I think we already knew that before I just said it, but it's painful to hear, but that's what we're looking at. Now, this also plays to a team that's not going to spend a ton of money in free agency. Now, I hope they go after a Trumaine Johnson. I'd like to see it just because, you know, you need some new energy on top of everything else, and I think you could still sign Grimes. And you can still have, with a Grimes-Trumaine Johnson situation, you can still have Vernon Hargraves starting at nickel and working a little bit outside and working there in the preseason and gaining some confidence, and the odds are he's going to get some time on the outside, and that's how you bring him on back. I just don't think they're going to draft a guy, and Grimes still becomes the perfect bridge free agent to Hargraves in their minds if he comes back with a big-name corner or an established starter opposite him. You know, Trumaine Johnson, do I think they're going to get him? No. But they do have the money to throw around. It's just a question of where and if they have the desire. Now, Quan Alexander becomes an interesting situation because Lavonte David got money. He got paid after 3 years. And guys compare salaries. GMs compare salaries, and they look at this stuff, and they try to build harmony on their roster because they're afraid to tell guys, suck it up, pal. And it's a strange world in the NFL. It really, really is. So I think the Bucks will re-sign Quan Alexander before the season and pay him well, hopefully sooner rather than later. And, you know, I think that could affect, that money might be loaded up this year to save on Quan's salary in the future. So that could eat a little bit of a chunk out of the cap as well. Something to think about on the defensive side of the ball. On offense, I'm a Josh Sitton guy. I think he just makes too much darn sense. Veteran left guard to plug in between Marpet at center, where they love Marpet, and Donovan Smith, and let him rub off, let him have the Mankins effect. That's my guy. There are other left guards out there, a lot of them on the market. I'm real curious to see how Kevin Pamphile fares on the market, whether the Bucks give him a rock bottom offer to stay and somehow he does stay to compete and to show his versatility as a swing guy. And I'm sure Evan Smith is gone, if anybody was really even wondering about that. But they're probably going to look for a versatile center guard type, and that could be the guy out of Kansas City. I forgot his name, which is pissing me off, but I'll think of it before we go. But he's played center, he's played guard, he's young, he's been on good offensive lines where they just ran the ball, and he's just a cap casualty kind of guy. I could see them doing something like that because think about it. Cutter is all about this, get the best five guys on the field, I don't care where they play. Although he'll also say continuity is important, and he says he's the same guy who put six offensive linemen out there last year on a full-time basis, really, because of that rotation with Evan Smith and Kevin Pamphile, which was kind of ludicrous. And you even heard Damar Dotson talk about that when we had him on the Ira Kaufman podcast. If you missed that, look it up on Google, Podbean, JoeBucksFan.com. Really worth your listen. We still have two more segments left with Dotson that we have not released that are going to go in the spring, summer. We'll figure out exactly when, before training camp. Good stuff, interesting stuff, historical looks. Just want to throw that out there. So on offense, I think it's a no-brainer. They're signing a guard. There are too many in free agency this year. This is the year to do it. There's too many out there. There are good ones. They will find one. And then we just have to see, right? We just have to see what it looks like. But Josh Sitton, gosh, he's got that playoff experience. He's durable. He's also a Florida guy. I think he'd be easier to sign. He's got to be able to see what's going on here, that there's talent. He'd be surrounded by talent, which is what O-linemen want. And, you know, Warhop's got a solid reputation in the league. You would think this would be attractive for Sitton. He's coming from the Bears, right? So he knows Jameis is better than anything the Bears have trotted out for a long time. That's got to help too. At tight end, wrote about it on Joe Bucks Fan this morning. Cameron Brait. They want to get a deal done with him. We know that. They want to extend his contract, probably lock him down for 2 years guaranteed with a 3-year deal, 4-year deal. But it's all about just the guaranteed money. And if you think about it, they're not paying O.J. Howard much for the first 4 years of his contract. So he has 3 more years on the cheap. So to pay Brait for 3 more years is really no big deal. And hopefully they get something done, because Brait's the kind of guy who's going to, if he has a decent season based on what he's done, he's going to be paid big in free agency next year. And the Bucks aren't going to want to do that. They're just, it would be hard to see them doing that. You can only pay so many guys, have so many weapons, and get it done now. I think Brait would take that lottery money if it's waved in front of him. The top tight ends in this league, the top 15 or 17 tight ends, they all make more than $6 million. I don't think it's such a crime to give Brait, you know, $6 million this year, guarantee him $4 million for next year with a $6 million contract. And if he plays it, he plays it. If not, but which I'm sure he will. And, you know, the guy's a good player. You got to re-sign your core players unless you're the Patriots and you can figure out how to wait around it. The Bucks aren't in that boat. You got to bring back your core players, your workers, the guys that you like. Mike Evans, that contract he signed, good for him. Good for him. No player is perfect, people. No player is perfect. Evans is a damn good football player. He might be better with a more accurate quarterback. He might be better with some more aggressive play calling to him versus DeSean Jackson. And he's shown he can shoulder the load. I mean, the guy, I think he leads the NFL in targets over the last 2 years. He's gotten banged up, but he's been pretty damn durable. He's can make the electric, incredible play. And again, no wide receiver is perfect. They're really not. Look at Julio Jones last year. Not a great season, except when he played the Bucs. Really wasn't a Julio Jones season. Mike Evans didn't have his greatest year last year, but damn good player, and kudos to the Bucks for getting it done. That doesn't affect this year's salary cap, though, so they're good there. I don't think you bringing Fitzpatrick back, nice move that happened this past week. We don't know what they're paying him yet. I don't think he did it on the cheap, so he might be commanding some good money as a backup, $6-7 million. So you can play with that on the cap. We haven't seen an announcement yet, but the dinner bell is here, and I don't believe that Team Glazer tells Jason Light, don't sign this guy, don't sign that guy. But Light has a budget. And in this day and age, at least for this year, the way it's broken out into sort of 4-year segments, Light can roll over money. He can roll over money for next year, which is just something to think about. But Light has a budget, and now where does he spend it? So Carlos Hyde is who I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. That's my guy at running back. Why? Because I know we should know that he can shoulder the load as a full-time back. That is important in your running back. I don't really know if Deion Lewis can do that. It's a unique situation being a running back for the Patriots. He did carry the load last year as one year as a full-time back. He didn't get 200 carries, but he was close enough. But still, he didn't do it all year long. He became a full-time back later in the year. And I don't know if he could be the full-time guy. I don't know if Peyton Barber could be the full-time guy. We might have had a better idea if Doug Martin didn't get all those extra carries that were needless last year. But this is the boat. This offense is supposed to run with a power running game. That's just how Dirk Koetter is, and I don't think he's changing anytime soon. So get the guy who's on the table. I mean, you were hoping to pay Doug Martin like $7 million a year. You were hoping to do that. You were hoping he was going to snap out of it. It's in your mindset. It's in your budget. You want that kind of guy. Go get Hyde. The poor guy has played with 4 offensive coordinators in 4 years. He's done well in various systems. I would go get that guy. That is the guy. You know, McKinnon out of the Vikings. Talented player, doesn't mean he can't thrive, but they say out of Minnesota that he's looking to be a number one guy. And if he comes here, he's going to have to compete with Barber. Might not want to do that. Hyde, at least you can say, hey, look, you're the guy. We got Peyton Barber. He's going to take the load off. You guys are going to compete, but you're the guy. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that's screwing Peyton Barber either. You know, you'll see how things shake out. Supposedly, Charles Sims isn't coming back. And, of course, the Bucs need to draft a running back. That's a given. But I don't think they can gamble to find their back in the draft unless they're thinking of, I guess, what you would call reaching on Sony Michel or one of these guys to draft number 7 overall and taking him really early. But that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense for this team because you could fix the problem right now. And the running game was better with Martin out last year. It was better with Barber in there. And you can fix a lot of problems right away and make yourself multidimensional immediately. Immediately, maybe. Maybe that would lead to this team not averaging, I think it was 9 points a game in the first half. You want to know why they were so one-dimensional? 9 points a game in the first half. You're always trailing. Always trailing. That's not good. And that's the number one thing that needs to be fixed. Dirk Cutter can talk red zone all he wants. Stop getting into a hole every damn week with your offense. Not necessarily the defense that was doing that. It's the offense that was averaging 9 points in the first half of games. Terrible in opening drives. Come on, man. Anyway. All right, look, it's exciting. It's here. We could go on and on. I wish I had you fans here to chat with, to talk about philosophy. Ira Kaufman has a column coming today on some of his key picks in free agency. He doesn't think the Bucs are going big, and I hope they do go big. They find a way to go big. There's still time to wheel and deal, still time to get things done. And you know what? There's still time to also reserve a little money to see who falls off rosters a little bit later when it comes to pass rushers. Jason Light found a way. Give the guy a little props. He found a way to find two very productive starters who fell off rosters on the offensive line back in 2015 with Gazdar Chehrilis and Joe Hawley. I think the two of them started 28 games. The Bucs ran the ball like wildfire, and the offense was top 10. So it can happen for pass rushers as well, especially after the draft. There's some options out there. Try not to freak out if the Bucs don't do what you want them to do. But hopefully they're doing something here. And hopefully it starts with getting Grimes back, with locking down another starting corner. And then, you know, let them let Hargraves breathe, take the pressure off. I think that's what's going to happen at corner. But we shall see, Bucs fans. Thank you for listening to me. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. That's the presenting sponsor. Thank you to them. Same-day free service call. Just get it done. Don't forget the commission's draft party with joebucksfan.com, Bucs Uncensored, the stick carriers blowout. That information has been all over social media. You'll see it more and more on joebucksfan.com. It's at Buffalo Wild Wings on Southdale Mabry. Opening night of the draft, night number 2 of the draft. And it's going to be one hell of a party. What else we got coming up? Just nonstop free agency coverage. We just do what we do, bring it to you as we would want to hear it as fans. And look, by Friday, they're going to be introducing new Buccaneers at One Buck Place, probably on Friday, possibly Thursday. So good times, exciting times. No matter what happens, it's an exciting time. And man, if they could just get a couple of dudes on defense who can ball, a corner, defensive tackle, and maybe a free agent defensive end that's got some life, represents some hope. You know, a last nugget I'll give you. If you go back, you could even Google it, Akeem Spence, when he was talking to media up in Detroit. He had a good year last year about what went wrong in Tampa. And this was, oh gosh, back in November or something. He talked about that they didn't have the formula right in Tampa. And even though they won with Dirk Cutter, it never felt right. And coaches had misguided expectations and philosophies. And then, you know what? All of a sudden, Jay Hayes gets fired. Nobody says a peep from the D-line on social media. They bring in Buckner. Maybe there really was a big problem there from evaluation to coaching that was just souring on the defensive line maybe there is a quick fix. You know, look, some idiot thought Swaggy Baker was good enough to play all these snaps and come in here and get rid of Akeem Spence, who had many suitors. Spence even said two of them were in the division, but he chose Detroit after talking to Joe Cullen former Bucks defensive line coach, who was well-liked, who had coached up in Detroit and thought Spence would be a fit up there. He got paid like $3.5 million a year, and he had a good year as a nose tackle, a few sacks, whatever. George Johnson goes on to the Saints from the Bucks. They had no use for him, and he's got a new contract. He produced. They relied on him late in the season in the playoffs. So maybe the problem is pretty deep, or was deep, and now it's gone. And, you know, it leaves you a little bit of hope, right? And that's all we can ask for this time of year is hope. The season of hope. And for those of you who have been hoping, the podcast is over. Thanks again. We'll see you next Monday.